Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Can the purposes of God in Christ be frustrated? Well, you say, that's an interesting theological question. What's it got to do with me? Well, the purposes of God in Christ means all that God plans for the world through Jesus. All that he plans for his people through their relationship with Jesus. Could nuclear war frustrate God's purposes through Jesus? What about Brexit? Or do you ever think that you've out-sinned the purposes of God in Christ? Surely, you say, I've wandered so far from the path, there's no way that God could get me back. Or you worry, my children have wandered so far from the path, there's no way that God could get them back. Can you ever frustrate the purposes of God in Christ, whether through sin or unbelief or circumstances? Here in Matthew chapter 2, it is God's purpose to have his king ruling in Israel and ultimately to rule the whole world. In Christ, God's purposes for us can never be frustrated. That's my message from the Bible. This doesn't mean a kind of fatalism. Everything will work out. Whatever may be will be, que sera. The purposes of God are only for our good in Christ Jesus, when we've responded to his call and trusted in Christ and made him our king. Then we can know that we are utterly secure in Christ. Here in Matthew 2, we see God fulfilling his eternal purpose in Christ. Lots of things conspire to frustrate God's purpose, but nothing does. The king, God's king, has just been born. He is born of a virgin, as prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. This nearly caused Joseph to divorce Mary, but no, the purposes of God were fulfilled. he was born in Bethlehem. This was prophesied in Micah 5:2. The purposes of God were fulfilled. He is visited by the Magi. King Herod tries to disrupt this, but the purposes of God are fulfilled. But now today, something dreadful happens. All the little boys in Bethlehem are slaughtered in an attempt to kill God's king. Will this frustrate the purposes of God in Christ? Three things to show you: a terrifying escape, a terrifying slaughter, and a terrifying surprise. But none of this frustrates the purposes of God in Christ. Firstly, then, a terrifying escape, verses 13 to 15. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." How utterly terrifying. You've just become parents. That's enough of a shock. There's great difficulty. Yet God has proved his faithfulness. They'd just been affirmed by the visit of the Magi. But now this word from the angel: escape to Egypt, because King Herod wants to kill baby Jesus. Would this frustrate God's purposes for the world in Christ? Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night. There was no time to wait till morning, and left for Egypt. Verse 15. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. Escape is not always easy. In the 1980s, a retired couple were so frightened by the threat of nuclear war that they studied where's the best place to go and live if you want to escape nuclear war. Where would be a place of ultimate security and peace? So they studied and traveled and studied. Finally, they found the place. And on Christmas, they sent their pastor a card from their new home: the Falkland Islands. And it was just before the Falklands War. That must have been pretty terrifying. And Joseph's situation is terrifying. But does it frustrate the purposes of God in Christ? Matthew is clear, verse 15b. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet: out of Egypt I called my son. That's a quotation from Hosea 11, verse 1. In other words, God had planned this all along. God had planned that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. This was prophesied in Micah 5:2. God knew that Herod would be a mass murderer. God knew and planned that Jesus would live in Egypt. The purposes of God in Christ are not frustrated. Rick Warren, in his church, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, has said, "Strong churches are not built on programs, personalities or gimmicks. They are built on the eternal purposes of God." God has a purpose for our church. God planned the way the church would be founded. God has superintended the church's life every step of the way. Patrick Smith is a commercial airline pilot who flies Boeing 757s and 767s. He's noticed that passengers' number one fear is turbulence. So much about it, he says, seems dangerous. But for Smith, turbulence is just a mere blip. He says that it's not dangerous at all. In fact, it's entirely normal. It's a convenience issue, not a safety issue. The pilots aren't worried about the wings falling off. They're trying to keep their customers relaxed and everybody's coffee where it belongs. In the worst of it, you probably imagine the pilots in a sweaty lather, the captain barking orders, hands tight on the wheel as the ship lists from one side to another. Nothing could be further from the truth. Actually, Smith concludes, while the passengers are fretting about the turbulence, the pilots are having a casual conversation about their morning orange juice. That's a picture of the Christian life. Bad things happen to us. We find them terrifying. But to God, it's just a bit of turbulence. Do you think God was frightened of King Herod? Do you think God was bothered by the flight into Egypt? Of course not. And it's the same with our troubles. We find them frightening. They are frightening. Job loss, sickness, bereavement. They are frightening. I don't want to belittle them. But God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God is faithful. God will uphold us, even if the worst happens. Even if we die. Or even if we're bereaved. So next time you feel frightened and the purposes of God are being frustrated, it's just a bit of turbulence. Because we are in Christ. We belong to Christ. We're trusting in Christ. We're obeying Christ. We are at the center of his will. His purposes for us in Christ cannot be frustrated. We will suffer in this life, but we know our relationship with God is unshakable. Our home in heaven is unshakable. God's purposes for us in Christ are certain. Secondly, a terrifying slaughter, verses 16 to 18. I agree, this is frightening and very upsetting, verse 16. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, remember they escaped without telling Herod where Jesus was, Herod was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. This is unspeakable. Baby boys under two. They're so small, so vulnerable. Their parents must have asked, God, why have you allowed this to happen? There are no easy answers. There are no glib one-liners. All the baby boys in the village were slaughtered. At this point, I am very glad I believe in a day of judgment. I have friends who tell me, God would never punish sin. God is a God of love. God calls us to forgive, so he will always forgive. That's not right. That's not biblical. The judgment of God, the reality of hell, goes right through Scripture. The Apostle Paul quotes Deuteronomy 32, 35 in Romans 12, 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad that at the heart of the universe, there is a holy God who in his holiness must destroy sin. I'm so glad that at the heart of the universe is a just God who must punish. I am glad that after slaughtering the little boys, Herod fell into the hands of an angry God. But this means, of course, that if God punished Herod's sin, he will punish my sin. And I stand on the edge of a precipice, looking down at an eternity in hell, an eternity of experiencing the wrath of God, unless I can say, Jesus Christ has taken my sin on himself on the cross. Jesus Christ has taken the wrath of God, the righteous anger of God, for my sin on himself, so that I am forgiven. I am at the center of God's purpose for me in Christ. Can you say that? Are you trusting Jesus to be your savior from hell? And then Matthew's point to us again is the purposes of God in Christ are not frustrated. Verse 17, it was all planned. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Verse 18, a voice in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Jeremiah 31:15. It's all in the purpose of God. This doesn't mean God is responsible for the evil. Herod was responsible for the evil. But God always knew it would happen. He always knew there'd be a demonic attack on the birth of Jesus. God allows sin to flourish until the return of Jesus, when all will be judged. God allows limited human freedom now, which means he allows sin. But he's in absolute control. You may remember how Satan has to ask God's permission before he can attack Job. That's a good insight. Satan lies behind the slaughter of the little boys. God allows it, but he's containing Satan's activity. He gives permission, he refuses permission, and one day he will judge. That brings us thirdly to a terrifying surprise, verses 19 to 23. But even this doesn't frustrate the purposes of God in Christ. Verse 19, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child of his mother and go to the land of Israel. So, everything is fine now, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. Hooray! Verse 21, so he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Don't we like a happy ending? But, verse 22, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. What a nasty, terrifying surprise. We thought it was safe to go home. But it's not. You don't want a surprise like that, do you? Archelaus was a terrible king. He was soon removed by Caesar for incompetence. He was known to be particularly cruel. Not a surprise to come home to. However, this is sometimes how God deals with us. He gives us the initial leading, come home. Then he shows us something else, and we move on. My grandfather always used to say rather gloomily, we don't know what's before us. And we don't. We don't know the future. We know who holds the future. And we put our hand into his. And he leads us every step of the way. So Joseph has to move his family, verse 22. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. But this does not frustrate the purposes of God in Christ, verse 22b. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Not that there is any one scripture which prophesies Jesus living in Nazareth. Rather, this sums up what the prophets said, that the Messiah would be ordinary. A bit like saying, he came from Bridgend, where I come from. Or Baldock. As Isaiah 53 puts it, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was just ordinary. The ordinary man can identify with him. And yet, he was not ordinary. He was not just from Nazareth. He was from glory. He was from eternity. He is God. And he's come to save us. Another insight here is that the root of the word Nazarene is the same as branch in Hebrew. The Messiah is often referred to as the branch. For example, the branch of Jesse in Isaiah 11:1. So this may lie behind this verse as well. Do you fear that the purposes of God are being frustrated in your life? Do you fear it more generally? This is what we must do. We must put our hand into the hand of Jesus. Go through life loving him, trusting him, obeying him. And we cannot fall out of the purposes of God in Christ as long as we have come to Jesus. I love John 10, 27 to 30. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you get the picture? We are sheep, just sheep. Jesus is our shepherd. He knows us. We follow him. He gives us eternal life. No one can snatch us out of his hand. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Are you secure like that? Are you trusting Jesus? Are you trusting the purposes of God in Christ? Don't forget Romans 8:28. That great promise of God's good purpose for us in Christ. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Is that true of you? You know you stand in the center of God's purposes because you've heard his call and you've surrendered your life to following Jesus. May it be true of each one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our security in Christ. We trust you, Lord. We're sorry for the times when we give in to fear and we doubt you. We believe everything's gone horribly wrong. Grant each one of us to trust in Christ and to know security for this life and for eternity. To know that we are going to heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.